Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at NewBalance.com.
Welcome to our GSP Ace of the Day segment. There's no sugarcoating it, folks. Yesterday was a brutal day for our picks on this show. We go 0-4 overall, and the only underdog I thought may advance, Angelique Kerber, was the only underdog not to advance in her Thursday match. It was just a funky one. At the 2021 Indian Wells, of course, in my opinion, the best and only way for us to proceed moving forward. Leave it all in the past. Forget about yesterday. Reset ourselves mentally. Refocus as we look to put a little bit of cash in our pockets during this Indian Wells Championship weekend. Of course, Friday, October 15th here promises to be another exciting day on the grounds. We have both of our women's semifinal matches set to begin today. You've got Ons Jabeur taking on Paula Badosa, Vika Azarenka taking on Yelena Ostapenko. Of course, we've got the back half of our men's singles quarterfinals as well. Tsitsipas taking on Basilashvili. You've got Alex Zverev taking on Taylor Fritz as well. As such, should be another exciting day of tennis for all of us fans to enjoy. Of course, what I want to do on today's show, offer you all a look at today's board, talk about the money lines, the underdogs, the spreads, the over-unders, the parlays that I am looking at, offer you all my thoughts on how the matches may unfold as well. Of course, a quick reminder before we get into it, if you have missed any day of action at the 2021 Indian Wells, you can hear recaps of each and every day of play over on our Mini Break podcast feed. You can find all of our content covering Indian Wells, covering all aspects of the tennis world over on our website, crackrackets.com. But enough beating around the bush. Let's get to it. Here are my picks for Friday, October 15th, my GSP aces of the day. Again, only four singles matches for us to discuss. We can run through each of the money lines here quickly. We'll start on the men's side. Not surprising to see a couple of lopsided lines. You see Alex Zverev, your number three seed. He's been damn near dominant through his first three victories here at Indian Wells. He's now facing a very much in form Taylor Fritz. And it is worth mentioning, Taylor Fritz, straight set wins over Nakashima, over Berrettini, over Sinner. The slow high-bouncing hard courts have been perfect for the young American's game, but they might be that much better for Alex Zverev, who, of course, is, you know, that much bigger than Taylor Fritz, has an inch or two on him and can hit the serve just as big as that, is just as dynamic off of both wings from the ground, from the baseline. And, of course, you know, again, is that much more of a fluid mover as well, is that much more comfortable at the net. Everything Fritz does, respectfully, Zverev does a little bit better. And it's worth remembering, Zverev's coming off of an Olympic gold medal, followed by the Western Southern Open title, followed by a five-set loss to Djokovic at the U.S. Open in the semifinals, and now he's blitzed his way here to the Indian Wells quarterfinals. Something has clicked for Zverev down the home stretch of this season, and of course, it is always worth reminding all of you listeners, whenever we talk about Alex Zverev, he faces serious accusations of both physical and emotional assault, and if you have not read those accusations, you can read more about them in Racquet Magazine on Slate.com. From a tennis perspective, makes complete sense that Zverev's minus 600. And to be honest, if you even want Zverev at any sort of worthwhile game spread, you've got to bet him at minus 4.5 games. You get a minus 150 there. You go minus 5.5 games. You get him at plus 100. Just a lot of games for him to have to cover, particularly against a very much in-form Taylor Fritz, who has served so well, who's hit the ball so cleanly from the ground. And, you know, again, Taylor Fritz, sneaky quality season for him. I believe he's 25-19 now overall on the year, back comfortably inside the ATP top 40, making a push to finish the season in the ATP top 30 as well. All of that said, You know, Zverev's technically got an outside shot at ending the year as the world number one if he wins this event, plays Vienna and wins it, plays Paris and wins it, plays the Euro Finals and wins it. Now, that's a lot of tennis for him, but all that is to say, these results still matter, and of course, he wants to assert himself. He wants to beat Tsitsipas again down the home stretch of this season, capture another Masters 1000 title, remind everyone, yeah, Medvedev may have won the U.S. Open, but he only won the U.S. Open because I had to play Djokovic first. I do expect Zverev to advance. Again, his length, his size, he'll absorb the pace, the topspin of Fritz so well, give it right back to him. I just think Zverev does everything a little bit better than Taylor Fritz does. So Zverev minus 600 makes sense. Too many games, not good enough value for me to bet anything on that match individually. So that's a stay away from me. And that's, by the way, your 3:30 p.m. Eastern time match. The other men's match on the day is just appealing enough to get in on the odds. And you look at Stefanos Tsitsipas, he's minus 380 over Nicolas Basilashvili. And of course, for Tsitsipas here at this event, it's been multiple three-set victories for him, three-set victories to be precise, in earning his pathway to these quarterfinals. You look for Stefanos Tsitsipas wins over, two three-set victories and a straight-set victory. Straight sets over Pedro Martinez, then three sets over Fognini, three sets over Demonauer to advance to this quarterfinal round. Of course, he did have a day off between his Demonauer match and his matchup today against Basilashvili. And you look at what Tsitsipas has been able to accomplish this season, 53-15. He's won 78% of his matches. You look at him down the hard court stretch, Canada semifinals, Cincinnati semifinals, five-set loss to Alcaraz in the U.S. Open third round. Now another quarterfinal here at Indian Wells. He's 20-5 on the season at the Masters level, unequivocally, you know, has clinched his spot at the year-end finals. He's a top four guy right now in the ATP rankings, top four guy right now via the ELO ratings as well. Stefanos Tsitsipas has been that good, and you look for Stefanos Tsitsipas against opponents ranked outside the top 20 this year. He's 41-8. His hold percentage goes from 87.8%, which, by the way, ranks fifth, to 89.2%. To 89.2%, which would rank fourth amongst top 50 players. You look at his break percentage here this season, 26.2, which would be a career high for him, which puts him inside the top 25, club top 25 in both hold and break percentage, one of seven guys on the ATP Tour. You can say that about for the first time in his career. It's been an unequivocal step forward for Stefanos Tsitsipas here this season, unequivocally that much closer to reaching the prime of his career. And you look for Stefanos Tsitsipas now in terms of quarterfinals reached here in the 2021 season. Stefanos Tsitsipas now competing in his 14th quarterfinal. That's the most by a significant number on the ATP Tour. It's, you know, three more than Casper Ruud, who's at 11, and four more than Rublev and Norrie, who are at 10. And again, Tsitsipas, week in, week out, he's been that excellent. He's only lost one first-round match. He's all season long. He's beaten everyone he's supposed to beat. That said, he does have a dangerous opponent tomorrow in Nicolas Basilashvili. Basilashvili competing in his 8th quarterfinal of the season. That's a top 10 number on tour. He's won a couple of titles this year, has Basilashvili winning the title in Doha, the title in Munich as well earlier this season. You look for him. Highest win percentage of his career. He's also got the highest break percentage of his career as well currently here in 2021. 32-24 overall on the season. You look for him on hard courts, that number goes to 18-13. You look at just, you know, again, for him, the hold percentage, he's holding 75% of the time on hard courts compared to 73.4 overall. He's breaking serve at the same rate regardless of surface. It's been, you know, again, I don't want to say a career season for the now 29-year-old, but certainly playing some of the best tennis of his career. Obviously, he's another guy who faces serious allegations off the court, nevertheless has been able to play some of his best tennis here during the year. But look, you look at the advanced metrics, obviously Tennis Abstract singles forecast Tsitsipas an 83% favorite to Basilashvili 17. You look at the overall rating, Tsitsipas 5th in overall ELO. You look for Nicolas Basilashvili right now, I believe, in terms of, again, overall ELO, he's currently 58th. You look 2021 specifically, Basilashvili 47th, Stefanos Tsitsipas currently 7th, Tsitsipas better than them by hold percentage, better than him by break percentage. Every metric points towards Stefanos Tsitsipas. The eye test does as well, and as big as Basilashvili hits the ball, and as nice as a slow hard court is for him, because his weapons translate regardless, and you give him that much extra time, it makes life that much easier for him. This surface amplifies Tsitsipas's strengths that much more than it does for Nicolas Basilashvili. He has that much more time to hit his forehand return, that much more time to hit through his backhand whenever he would like, and just, you know, again, his willingness and comfort level moving forward, taking balls out of the air. That's how you hit a winner on a slow court. You beat them to the spot, you take the space away, you take the time away. I just think, again, Tsitsipas has survived against super tough opponents thus far. I think he does again against Basilashvili. I think it sets up the Zverev Tsitsipas semifinal that we all deserve. Now, again, on the money line, minus 380, that's poo-poo. But if you take Stefanos Tsitsipas at minus 3.5 games, which is a break in each set he's more than capable of, you get minus 150 odds, which isn't great, but that's about as good as you're going to do here down a championship weekend stretch, particularly in a matchup like this. Look, Basilashvili has played well, but give me Tsitsipas, who's yet to play his best match of the tournament. I think this is where we start to see his level pick up. Again, the day off yesterday to refocus for today. Give me Tsitsipas, -3.5 games over Basilashvili, -150, 2 units to win 1.33. Those are your men's, I suppose, related men's singles matches on the day. Now you look at the women's singles matches. Should have a couple of good ones on our hands as well. And of course, it's interesting to note that the women's semifinals are going to be played today, and then the women get the round, get the day off tomorrow before the double singles final on Sunday. I do like the format, the way the tournament does that. If you look at the matchups today, again, it's going to be thin margins. We'll start with the more lopsided of the two money lines, Victoria Azarenka minus 210 over Yelena Ostapenko. You look at what Vika's been able to accomplish this season. I believe she's 30-9 here on the year in matches she's actually competed in and been able to finish. Now, of course, there have been multiple withdrawals for her throughout the course of the season, but she's winning 78% of her matches here this season. You look at the hold percentage, you look at the break percentage for Victoria Azarenka. When she's been on court, she's been as good this season. I don't want to say she has been in any season of her career, but her hold percentage right now, 0.2% below her career average. Her break percentage, 0.8% above her career average. She's been who she is. And when Victoria Azarenka has been healthy, of course, she has perennially been a top 10 talent, top 5 sort of player on tour. Of course, you look at the Tennis Abstract singles forecast, Victoria Azarenka, 68% favorite over Yelena Ostapenko, who's been exceptional since the start of the grass court season. You look for Ostapenko during that stretch of time. Of course, that dates back to the start of Birmingham at the beginning of June for Ostapenko during that stretch of time. Again, simply sensational run for her. She's now 19-7 overall during that stretch, 73% win percentage. She's holding serve. She's winning 66% of her first serve points, 48% of her second serve points. Those are both significantly above her career averages. You look for her during that stretch. Eastbourne title, where, and I've said it all week long, maybe the 5 most impressive wins of the season. Pavlyuchenkova, Jabeur, Kasatkina, Rybakina, Konteve in a 5-match run. That's super impressive. She then goes finals of Luxembourg, right? Round of 16, Cincinnati, before losing in 3 sets to Angelique Kerber. And, you know, now she's beaten Putintseva, Swiatek, and Shelby Rogers to get to this semifinal matchup against Vika. Of course, a slow, high-bouncing hard court's going to play so well for both of these players, give them that much more time to get into their aggressive baseline patterns. You look at the comparison between the two players right now, Vika just a little bit better metrics-wise than everything Ostapenko's doing. Vika's holding serve 67.9% of the time. You look for Yelena Ostapenko here this season. She is holding serve even down the home stretch still just 65.3% of the time. Meanwhile, from a break percentage standpoint, even though Ostapenko had a career high 44.7% this season, or excuse me, highest number for her since 2017, but above her career average, you know, Victoria Azarenka is at 46.1%. She's still returning serve better than Yelena Ostapenko, and her length and just her ability to absorb, redirect power, attack down the line. I think they're both very good at the net, sneaky good at the net, but I like the, you know, again, I just like the consistency of Victoria Azarenka a little bit more than I do for Ostapenko. Vika, also a 2-time defending Indian Wells champion. She's been at this stage before. By the way, both of these players, sneaky still kind of in the hunt for the year-end finals. If Victoria Azarenka wins this title and she got the losses she needed from Konteve and Kerber, if she wins the title, beats Ostapenko today, then wins the final, she will surpass Elina Svitolina, have a 14-point lead over Svitolina for that final spot in Guadalajara, if you assume Barty and Osaka aren't playing. Vika had everything that she needed to happen for her to stay alive. By the way, ditto for Ostapenko. She would also lead Paula. She would also lead, Elena Svitolina and Paula Badosa, who now has a 1-point lead over Svitolina. Ooh, the points race has heated up. Things getting juicy. All of this still matters is the point I'm trying to make. And I do think because of that fact, give me a locked-in Victoria Azarenka. As good as Ostapenko has been this season, we contemplated it on the mini break. Is Ostapenko back? I think the answer to that question might be yes. Nevertheless, give me Vika -210. You want to take her, you know, on if you want to take her, you think she's going to win comfortably -3.5 games. You get -120 odds. Now you try and go 2.5 games. Those odds get to like the 210-220 range. That's just not worth it. I don't think Vika -3.5 games at -120 is worth it either, because I do think there's a world where Ostapenko just catches fire and wins a 6-2 set, or, you know, she just, again, comes out swinging and there's nothing Vika can do. And so I don't like the game spread on that matchup. I do think Victoria Azarenka, her consistency wins her the match down the home stretch, but that's a money line stay away from me. I do like Ons Jabeur over Paula Badosa, and you look at the money line, Jabeur -150 against Badosa. Of course, Badosa fantastic here at this event at Indian Wells. She's earned maybe the wins of the tournament, her pathway perhaps the most difficult, as she's knocked off Yastremska, Goff, Krejcikova, and now Kerber to reach the semifinals here at Indian Wells, her first Indian Wells main draw semifinal. Of course, you look for Badosa. It has been a career breakout season for the 23-year-old, 39-15 overall, winning 72% of her matches. She is one of the players to be top 25 in both hold and break percentage. And while neither of those categories have been elite, there's absolutely value to just the floor that she brings match in, match out. Again, 23rd in hold percentage, 19th in break percentage. You look for Badosa here this year. Not only has she beaten everyone she's supposed to beat, 21-6 against opponents ranked outside the top 50, but she's 18-9 against top 50 opponents, 9-3 against top 20 opponents. And even if you want to take away the three top 20 wins she's had at this event, she's 6-3 as well coming into this event on the year against those opponents. You look again for Paula Badosa. It's a year of firsts, and she now finds herself, as I mentioned, in the pole position for that final spot in Guadalajara. 1-point lead for her over Elena Svitolina. Fascinating race that I promise I'm about to tweet about for all of you Cracked Rackets fans who hear this. But, you know, again, as good as she's been, Jabeur's your WTA 2021 wins leader. Ons Jabeur now 48-17 here in 2021 into what I believe, and I don't want to be incorrect here, is her fifth semifinal of the season. You look for her overall, again, similar to Paula Badosa. She's beaten everyone she's supposed to beat and then some. She's 29-5 against opponents ranked outside the top 50, 19-12 versus top 50 opponents, 8-8 versus top 20 opponents. But again, that's plenty of top 20 battles here in this event. You look for Ons Jabeur. She's not just top 25 club, she's top 15 club, one of four players to rank top 15 in both hold and break percentage. And again, from a numbers standpoint, she's got a lead over Paula Badosa in just about everything. She's holding 74.7% of the time. Badosa's at 72.8%. You look for Jabeur. She's breaking serve 41.9% of the time. For Paula Badosa right now, she's a little bit lower than that. She's at 39%. And of course, again, from a dynamic standpoint, I just like the variety Jabeur can play with a little bit more. The slice, the angles, her ability to take that ball on the rise down the line. I just think she has more pop than Paula Badosa, who of course will badger you with her consistency. Will just, you know, so solid off of both wings, such a solid mover as well, and she's had that much more time to be an aggressive baseliner on the slow Indian Wells hard courts. But, you know, again, if you can't hurt Ons Jabeur, if you get her time to get into her plays, you give her time to get into her patterns, you give her time to utilize her slice, she's going to make you pay. She's going to make your life a living hell throughout the course of the match. And so, again, I don't know if Badosa's got big enough weapons to disrupt the patterns of Ons Jabeur. And that's why I'm leaning Jabeur in this one. And now, you know, again, -150 as a money line, not the best value. But if you want to take Jabeur to win, and all she's got to do, you know, 7-6, 7-6, or not lose a lopsided set, Jabeur -1.5 games is -125. Not only do you get better value than the money line, again, a straight set victory, and she covers -1.5 games. Even a three set victory very likely covers 1.5 games. You just have to be confident that Jabeur is going to win. I'm not confident in anything anymore at this Indian Wells, but of all the scenarios on the board, that's the one I like the most. Give me the angles of Jabeur, who, by the way, beat Badosa earlier this season when they played in Miami. Now, it was a three-set victory for her, and they've played twice in their career. Once in 2015 was a three-set win for Badosa. Once now here in 2021, 7-6, 5-7, 7-5 win for Own Jabeur in Miami. I like Jabeur, who just cracked the top 10 for the first time, who has pretty much clinched her spot in the year-end finals. I just think this could be the feather in the cap for Own Jabeur here on the bow of what has been just the breakthrough 2021 season. You throw an Indian Wells title in the mix as well. It's impossible to deny that she has earned her spot in the top 10. So give me Jabeur to give the job done, continue her sensational season. Not that Paula Badosa hasn't also been sensational, but Jabeur is the pick for me. And then again, from a value perspective, I'm going to take the -1.5 games over the money line, -125, 2 units to win 1.6. With all of that said, I know this burned me yesterday, but of course, I do have a parlay for all of you listeners today, and that is another all-favorites parlay. I made the case for Zverev, made the case for Tsitsipas, made the case for Vika, made the case for Jabeur. You parlay all of those matches together, plus 257, which again, for four favorites, that's not that great, particularly given the round of the tournament we're at, but what would a GSP Ace of the Day segment be without a parlay? So I'll give you Zverev, Tsitsipas, Vika, Jabeur, moneyline parlay, plus 257, 1 unit to win 2.57. That and these are your picks for our GSP Aces of the Day. Again, Jabeur, -1.5 games over Badosa, -125, 2 units to win 1.6. Tsitsipas, -3.5 games over Basilashvili, -150, 2 units to win 1.33. Then the four favorite parlay, Zverev, Tsitsipas, Vika, Jabeur on the money lines, plus 257, 1 unit to win 2.57. Those are your picks for our GSP Aces of the Day. Of course, again, recaps over on the Mini Break podcast feed. All of that content available on our website, crackrackets.com. A shout out, as always, to our super producers, Max Ligner and Daniel Westhoff, for the of an editing job they do day in, day out. Shout out as well to our friends at Tennis Point, tennis-point.com. The promo code is CR15. With that said, for our super producers, Fligner and Westhoff, and from all of us here at both Crack Rackets and the Tennis Channel Podcast Network, I'm your host, Alex Gruskin. You know what we say? Hey, great shot, and may the odds be ever in your favor. Good luck, everyone.
Introducing Coco Gauff's signature shoe, more than just a tennis shoe. It's a fusion of 90s-inspired style and cutting-edge performance technology. With its sleek mid-cut silhouette, it's designed to enhance speed and power on the court. The multi-piece upper construction delivers high-energy return for players of all levels. Whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, the Coco CG1 empowers you to dominate the game. Learn more and purchase the Coco CG1 at newbalance.com. We'll be right back.